2 days ago, our TV critic David Bianculli was in New York at the Museum of Television and Radio watching videotaped coverage of John Glenn's blast-off into space in 1962. Yesterday, he watched at home as Glenn returned to space and found it a completely different viewing experience.
I can't think of a better way to measure the changes in television from 1962 to 1998 than to compare the two space flights of John Glenn. It's not that coverage of the one is better than the other, just that they show so clearly what we've come to expect from the TV networks at times like these. 36 years ago, Walter Cronkite stood in a field and ad-libbed his way through more than an hour of pre-flight coverage, with the Mercury rocket simmering in the background. After the launch, CBS went to animation that looked like Clutch Cargo, with a supposed astronaut's eye view approximating what Glenn was seeing from his space capsule. The audio transmission between Glenn and Mission Control wasn't even live. It was released by NASA on a slightly delayed basis in case something went wrong, but it was riveting. I watched it then as a wide-eyed 8-year-old. The other day, I watched it just as wide-eyed, and a lot more wide-bellied. Yesterday, I watched Glenn blast off and Cronkite cover it again, this time on CNN, where Cronkite was serving as special co-anchor. His high point was a live interview with President Clinton 1/2 hour before launch. But I also watched the launch on other networks, many of which weren't around the last time. In addition to CNN, I was watching Tom Brokaw on NBC and MSNBC, Dan Rather on CBS, and Peter Jennings on ABC. I also was watching the Fox News Channel and the Discovery Channel, and even C-SPAN, which was running the live satellite images and transmissions from NASA TV. Even QVC, a shopping network, covered the launch, for reasons I still don't understand. This time around, technology could do so much more. The images were in color, the focus much more intense, the communications more sophisticated. And instead of one correspondent shouldering the whole load, each network provided lots of guest analysts, including former astronauts. When Glenn orbited the Earth in 1962, there was only one former astronaut, Alan Shepard. What impressed me more than the technology, though, was the enthusiasm. Brokaw, Rather, Jennings, Cronkite, all of them did excellent work at various times in their careers covering space shots, and their personal joy at covering a good news story for once, especially this one, was obvious. Listen to Brokaw 1 minute into the launch, just after the Discovery astronauts passed the critical throttle-up stage.
I don't know what your grandfather is doing today, but John Glenn at 72nd is on his way to space. I'm telling you,
Discovery could now reach the transatlantic port side at Van Jewel. However, telemetry indicating all three engines continuing to perform well, and Discovery's performance to this point, 2.5 minutes into the flight, has been as expected. Discovery now traveling at a speed of 3,500 miles per hour at an altitude of 43 miles. Downrange from the Kennedy Space.
After all the networks returned to normal coverage, I turned my big satellite dish to NASA TV and kept watching and listening, amazed the technology allowed me to do that. Then I got to eavesdrop as John Glenn reported back to Houston from space, making his first radio call in orbit since the Kennedy administration.
Hello, Houston. This is PS2. I mean, let me get sprung out of the middeck for a little while. We're just going by Hawaii, and that is absolutely gorgeous. Boy, enjoying the show is right. This is beautiful. The best part is that, do a trite old statement, 0G, and I feel fine.
Hey, Roger that. We had a bunch of your friends asking about you today, and they were wondering how you're feeling, and I'm sure they're glad to hear that.
First report is great. I don't know what happens on down the line, but today is beautiful and great, and Hawaii is just, I just can't even describe it.
Well, I dare say you'll see that view a couple more times before you come back.
And Beamer, let the record show that that John has a smile on his face and it goes from one ear to the other one, and we haven't been able to remove it yet.
John Glenn wasn't the only one impressed with his view yesterday. Sitting at home, watching TV bring outer space and the country a little closer, I was impressed too.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News.